listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 154. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who looked very confused when I reminded him about what this week's topic was, John Brownstone.
Hey, I've had a rough week.
And I also told you right after you took NyQuil. This week, we're talking about the teamwork or partnership aspect of DS in a way that I don't think most people think about.
True.
At least not consciously think about. No. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh. There we go.
Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at LovingDS1, otherwise known as that handle I fucking hate, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes.
I think they know you hate that handle by now.
Fucking hate that handle. If I could change it, I would. I swear I would. Oh, I hate that fucking handle. Okay. So, you know, I hate that handle on principle. Because how Instagram made me find all the loopholes to even have a freaking Instagram account. Fucking hate it. Okay.
We have announcements.
I know. I was going to say that. You were interrupting me.
Yeah.
Were you trying to get me to like move on and not dwell on that fucking handle I hate?
Possibly.
Okay. Too bad, because you got me to talk about it for like 2 minutes. For the record, if you follow us on Twitter or Instagram, you would have seen this. I forgot to post it to FetLife. That's my bad. Your podcast app did not stop working last week.
No.
We did not have an episode for November 9th. So that's because we were sick, and we could talk about that later in the bonus section. We are still technically a little sick. The pain in my face has moved from one side to the other. It's on the move, though. I feel like I'm chasing it.
Yeah. Right?
So I didn't want to miss another week, though, personally. So
no,
it felt weird last week. It's fine when it's planned and we talk about it and let people know.
Yeah.
I don't like it when it's not planned.
No, me either.
No. So that's not an error in podcast apps, or you didn't, you know, go a little crazy and miss something. No. We were sick. The other announcements. Big announcements, much less wordy than the first initial announcement.
Do we need a drum roll?
Oh, no. We don't do sound effects here. No. We do still have the Lodbrok giveaway going on.
Yes.
Two winners will receive a foot pillory, a paddle, and a flogger that are fucking amazing. Like, the craftsmanship of these toys is amazing.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. And they still have their Bad Santa Christmas sale going on, where you can save 50% off.
Wow.
When I looked at it, it looked like the whole store. But I know it's also while supplies last. So whatever they have that they have in stock, once it's gone, and you're not going to be able to get that. So
50% off, you better act quick, because
pretty much. And this is investment kink kind of stuff. This is the good stuff. This isn't the stuff that, and we've all done it, that you buy that's kind of cheap from like a sex toy shop. This is the real deal. This is handcrafted, like really good stuff. So if you don't have any cash and you would rather try to win it, then make sure you enter our giveaway. It's running the entire month of November. Two winners will be selected, and those winners can be located anywhere in North America or Europe. So if you are in neither of those places, then go check out the sale. So that's going on. And then just a reminder for anybody who can get to the Orlando area or is currently in the Orlando area, we will be at the Woodshed for the Woodshed's Shopping Extravaganza. I feel like you have to say that with flair. Once you put the word extravaganza in something, you have to give it some oomph. Anyway, December 1st, Saturday, December 1st, 2018, from 3 to 7?
3 to 7 p.m.
Right. Yes. And I just designed through a medicated haze and ordered the little promotional materials, like just little things like little cards and business cards. And if you ever make a place an order through the website, you will probably receive one of those. Mm-hmm. But that way we had a little something nice on the table.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the display at some point this week and order whatever it is we need. Oh, yeah. You're lucky I didn't order a Loving BDSM Kinky Fuckery banner. Because Vistaprint was having a sale. And this will test for me how friendly Vistaprint is. Normally, I'm very leery of using very vanilla products, but the Loving BDSM logo, the words BDSM, the words Kinky Fuckery are all over the printed materials that I've ordered, and if they arrive, then I'll know we're good, we're cool, it's fine, they don't really care. It's probably all machines and robots doing it anyway.
Right.
So yeah, so those things are going on. Woodshed in Orlando, December 1st.
Yep.
We know one of our personal friends is going. She's like, I have cleared my schedule.
Yeah.
I will be there. We know of at least one listener who would like to go, but has apparently other plans. So yeah, we will miss you if you're not able to get there. But if you're out there and you would, you know, like to do some kinky fuckery shopping, or just come say hi. There's no requirement you spend money. And it's free to get in and you don't have to be a member.
Right.
So if you've been curious about the Woodshed, if you're in that part of Florida.
This is a good way to kind of take a peek.
Exactly. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's the announcement.
Okay. That wasn't bad.
No, that wasn't bad.
Okay.
I've totally done worse before.
Yeah.
And will again. I think that's accurate.
I'm sure you will.
So it's pretty much guaranteed. And again, I'm okay with that. So this week's topic probably sounds pretty obvious, but I really don't think we think of these things like this very often. I think it's one of those things that we just sort of go, yeah, that's true. And then we never actually dive into
it. Kind of take it for granted.
Right. And it's the fact that when you're in a DS relationship, and I don't mean just the long-term loving, romantic, sexual ones. I mean in any type of DS relationship, you are, as cheesy as it sounds, part of a team.
Yeah.
And I think that that gets not thought about as much as maybe we could think about it, because we really focus on our roles. You know, when you're the dominant, you're focusing on either what you can do for your submissive or what you want your submissive to do for you. And as a submissive, I know from personal experience, I'm not just thinking about what I'm supposed to do. I'm thinking about how I can do more for you personally, John Brownstone. I'm thinking about what more I need to do, what more I can offer. Am I doing a good job? Am I being the best submissive I can be? And it, even though I'm acting as part of the whole,
right,
I'm more focused on what I'm doing as opposed to what we are doing. And I think that for me, this conversation is about the we aspect of DS and not the I or the you, because what should be happening on both sides is that we're both thinking of what the other person needs or wants. And I think in really good, healthy relationships of any kind, that's exactly what's happening. But
And it should be that way.
Right. And it should be that way. And this is not to say that you shouldn't be doing that. It's to add another layer to the larger picture of what are we doing together. Because I think this comes up in a million and one different ways, and we don't even think about it. Some are small, some are big. It's just been on my mind this week because we went to the doctor together and we pushed each other to take our medicine.
Right.
And we looked at each other and said, we can't do any of the things we want to do if we're sick and we're miserable.
That's correct.
And it wasn't about John Brownstone doming me into going to a doctor or me doing tough love and going, Daddy, I really need you to go to the doctor. It was something that we did for each other and the whole and ourselves individually. And it was a nice little package of teamwork. I do have to be careful when I say things like teamwork, because I get flashbacks to group projects in school, which to this day still make my skin crawl. I'm not a group project kind of girl. I don't like that stuff. The 13-year-old comes home almost every day and he's like, oh, we did a group project. And I'm like, that sounds
awful.
He loves it. He's the kid who thinks it's fine.
He's an ambivert.
Yes, he is. He has his introvert tendencies, but he's definitely got extrovert tendencies. Yeah. And the group project thing is clearly it. But I like that you and I are a team, that we work together, that we are even there are times we still get it wrong or we're not quite perfect. We're trying to be a good partnership. It's made me think of
a well-oiled machine.
Try to form a more perfect union. That's where my brain went. And I think it is a process. I think it's a process from new relationships into established relationships. I think established relationships fall into the taking each other for granted and not really thinking about these things.
Yeah.
Most often because you get comfortable and you know what to expect from the other one. And maybe you don't think you have to say something or that both of you are on the same page about what both of you want. And it's very easy in any kind of relationship for that to get really misunderstood and confused.
To get wonky.
So I think if we're more conscientious about the fact that this is a team effort, you know, we are trying to build something that is us together, then it is easier in those moments when life gets in the way or when we very naturally are a little bit more selfish than we might, you know, like to be, that we can go that, wait, this is what we're supposed to be doing for us, not just for me or not just for them. And I think it's a wonderful thing when you're in such a good relationship that you do care more about the other person than yourself. I have done that from a submissive standpoint. I've done that just from a loving standpoint. You have done that. I've seen you sort of run yourself ragged trying to make sure that I'm okay. And I'm getting more and more to the point that while caring about ourselves and the other as individuals is very important, we are, we are only as strong as your weakest link. I got cliches for days, y'all. and so if one of us is struggling, it brings both of us down. So right. I think that there, more often than not, it's better to think about what's good for us and not just what's good for me or what's good for my partner over there.
I think a good point to make in that is that, you know, our strength is also our weakness.
That's true.
Okay, because we have a relationship that we feed off of each other. And when we are at our best, we fly.
Yeah.
Okay? There isn't anything that we can't accomplish. If one of us is off in any way, it also knocks the other off. Yeah. So it works for us and against us in some ways.
Absolutely. And I think you have to be conscious of that. And I think that it helps to have sort of the language in your head of, okay, we're a team or we're, you know, we say partners all the time and we say partners to mean our significant other, but I'm thinking, you know, partnership as in sort of that, like we go back to the episode we did about equality, you know, the question was in that episode, are the two parts of a DS relationship equal? And the best thing I think we came up with during that episode and then the conversations that happened afterwards with people, usually on Twitter, I think, was about balance. And that's one way to look at it, and that's a valid way to look at it, and that this does not negate that. But when I'm thinking of partnership, I am thinking of it in sort of the team effort of we are two sides of the same coin. We are two halves of a whole. And if you've got more people than you're however many of the whole, pick your metaphor. I know that in long-term relationships, healthy long-term relationships, I think people really do think in these terms, even if they're not using the words we're using, you are thinking of, oh, we're better together than we are apart or whatever. And I think that this is true in any kind of DS relationship. Maybe it's not as all-encompassing as a long-term living together, building a life together kind of DS relationship. Maybe you come together for scenes, but in that moment, you're a team. And it's not just what one of you wants will be good for the other. And if you give the other person what they want, then everything will automatically be okay. I think most of the time that's true. But I also think that if we focus only on thinking about the other person, I'm assuming healthy DS relationships here, because we'll get to unhealthy in a minute. I got thoughts. I might have a rant. I don't know. when you're only thinking about the other person, right? And you're not thinking about the us, little things will slide through. Like you will be having a feeling or a moment that maybe you don't talk about because you're thinking about what the other person needs. Or maybe you're tired, or maybe you're sore, maybe mm-hmm. you're this, or maybe you're that. And this is dom or sub, and you're focusing on the other person more than what's good for both of you together. And this is a nuanced thing. This is a really subtle thing. This is something that won't always be the same every time. But in that moment, in your scene, or when you come together in that DS pairing, in whatever way that works for you, it's important to think of the other person. It's important to think of yourself. It's also important to think of you as a whole unit.
Right.
That's the word, a whole unit. Whole unit. Just if I just kept talking, eventually the right word would come to me. But as we usually do, we will obviously probably talk more about the life stuff and less about the kink stuff, mm-hmm. Because that's most of our experience these days. But I think there is. There are clear parallels where this works in a kinky scene. So the last time mm-hmm. we kinky scene, every time, even a little light scene, we both have already had the conversation and have ongoing conversations about limits and what we want and what we don't right. want and moods and blah, 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 right? And we've talked about how, especially from a submissive standpoint, you have to tell your dominant, I am sick. I do not feel good. This part Correct. Of my body hurts, right? Whatever it is, because that will, pardon the pun, impact your play.
Absolutely.
Right. And so those conversations happen ahead of time. Well, then we get into the scene. And I know experienced, especially submissives, but experienced mm-hmm. kinksters who get into the middle of the scene and they will ignore things that are not good for them in order to keep the scene going or to make their other partner happy and to give their partner what they want. And most of the time, there's nothing wrong with that. I've done that. God knows I've gritted my teeth through some pain that was not pleasant because I knew it was your thing and it made you happy mm-hmm. and that was fine. But then there's these moments, and I have experienced them myself, where I know if I don't speak up and say, ooh, that was not a good hit. Yeah. That was you landed wrong there. This doesn't feel right. My fingers are going numb, right? If I don't speak up, I'm speaking for myself and keeping myself safe, and that is a responsibility mm-hmm. I have. But the scene for both of us will not end well if I don't give that feedback. True. And so then what could have been a really pleasant moment might end really badly with both of us being a little traumatized by what happened yes. because I didn't speak up on behalf of what we have together as a whole unit.
Correct.
And that's not separate and apart from looking after myself, looking after you. It is intermingled in all of it. It's not like a standalone, we only think about ourselves as a team at this moment. That's not it. It's a constant.
It's a constant thing. There is, you know, in a relationship, and especially in a DS relationship, it's like tendrils. Mm-hmm. Intertwined.
Absolutely. And there's that common thought, and I've thought it and I still tend to think it, that it's important to almost care about you. When you care about the other person almost more than you care about yourself, then good things tend to happen. And most of the time mm-hmm. that's true. When everything's going really well, that works. But sometimes I can't just think about what makes you happy if I know one, it hurts me, but two, it disrupts our relationship. Correct. Like if I don't speak up and you hit incorrectly and you injure me and I don't say anything and you keep going, now I'm injured. And look ahead a little bit. Like in our lives, if I'm injured, I'm not working. We're stressed about money. I can't do the things for you as your submissive that I want to do. Correct. You have guilt it's this huge thing. And so it is in a scene sense, even though I said I had no clear example I could give. Clearly I was wrong. It's about thinking about all of those layers. Yeah. And it's a layered thing. There's you, there's the other person, there's y'all together. There's mm-hmm. you and them and y'all.
Y'all, yeah.
that works, quite frankly. Yeah. But in outside of kink, that is still true in every other facet of life.
Mm-hmm.
Every other facet of life. And it comes in, it really does come in subtle ways.
But that works too, even outside of a relationship, say in a top and bottom situation where you're negotiating, you know, a scene with somebody. Mm-hmm. Because you are looking for a particular outcome. They are looking for for something. So even though it's not a permanent partnership, it's still a temporary partnership that you're working through. And you need to be able to navigate that.
Mm-hmm. And you won't get it right all the time. And when you're dealing with somebody new to you, it will be more difficult. And you might have to, then there will be certain situations, especially when somebody's kind of new to you and you're negotiating something sort of for a first time, you need to think more about yourself than anybody because you have to protect yourself. And so that trust is earned and you've established that connection where you know they will do their best to take care of you. And even after you know somebody will do their best to take care of you, you do still have to take care of yourself. But I think that there's multiple ways of looking at everything, but in all of these situations, it's not just where does the dominant want to go and it's not just where does the submissive want to go on the journey in life and the scene and whatever. It's where do we together want to go. And I have found, especially over the past several months, that the more you and I have started doing things together, literally as a team, as a working unit, imperfect working unit, but still, I feel like the depth of our relationship, that the depth has become deeper, y'all. Words are hard, I'm sick.
It's become more solidified.
It's become more solidified, and it's become more, I don't even know if this is possible. I never thought it's become more meaningful. We are at a point where we can look at each other across a room, make eye contact, and speak that way. Nobody's mouth opens. I'm not a ventriloquist. I'll look at him and I'll do an eyebrow thing and he'll look at me and we know exactly. Because that happens in a lot of, that happens in a lot of long-term relationships. Vanilla kinky, it's not about the flavor. It's about, sometimes it's about how long you've been together. Sometimes it's just about how well you communicate. It's about how well you know each other. It's about a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I would have said 6 months ago, we're a team. Of course we are. And two, we know each other really well. But as time continues to go by, not only do I still learn new things, which is always fascinating, but I also learn just how deep our connection is. And I am at this point, because it helps with the topic of today's episode, quite frankly, I am attributing that to the fact that we are not only working together as a whole unit, as a single unit more, we're doing it better.
Yeah.
Because we struggled at the beginning with podcasts and websites and what's your role and what's my role.
Right.
And I think that our roles make that easier. You know what your responsibility is.
Mm-hmm.
I know what my responsibility is. And this is where I think DS does have kind of an edge on vanilla, because in most vanilla relationships, people don't define their roles very well. And so then there can be some confusion. But in DS, we have very defined roles. I know what I'm supposed to do. You know what you're supposed to do. I know what I want to do for you and what, in my mind, it means to serve you beyond the explicit things you tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have the same, you know, your counterpart feeling of taking care of you,
absolutely.
Right. And so we're each acting within our roles, but then we have managed to, thankfully, add the layer of, and what's not just good for him or her, what's good for us.
Right.
And sometimes you make decisions that you don't love in the name of what's good for us. Like squeezing Flonase up your nose for the first time in life. I'm 39. I've just now squeezed medicine up my nose. I had a baby girl temper tantrum.
It was kind of funny from my point of view.
But I was also reminded, do you want to get better?
That's right.
And I want to get better for me. Of course I want to get better for me. I want to get better for him. I want to get better for us. I want to get better for the family. So I was like, fuck, fine. So just...
Well, I mean, that was fun. That was my decision, too, in not hesitating to want to go to the doctor either.
I know, because normally you're not.
Normally I don't, but, you know, I told her, and this is how I explained it to her. I said, look, you know, when we started on the intermittent fasting and keto, once I got over that initial, giving up the carbs and pasta that I love and bread and sugar, I had formed a mental clarity that I have not had in a long time. When I got sick, that mental clarity went away.
Yeah, oh yeah, for me too.
Right? Even for you, you noticed it too. And I did not like that. Mm-hmm. I did not like that at all. Now, you know, granted, all those years from eating the way I did and everything, I did not have a center of what it meant to have that clarity.
Sure.
Okay. But now that I do.
Right. And that brings me back to a point of when I've taken care, very aggressively taken care of my physical health. I'm like you. I typically don't go to a doctor. You tough it out. Mm-hmm. It'll go away eventually or you'll just limp. Like yeah. you just.
Yeah.
That might be generational. I know that was the way I was raised. Like my dad went to the doctor. He had chronic health problems. He had no choice but to go to the doctor. But for other things that weren't the worst thing ever, that was the mark of, oh, well, is it as bad as that? No, suck it up and keep going. Yeah. And so we don't necessarily go to the doctor as often as we should. We don't take care right. of our health. And early 2018, I aggressively went, no, I will not live in this pain anymore. And part of it mm-hmm. was I work for myself. There are no sick days. If you don't take care of your health, you can't work. And that is true. But it was also, wait, if I can't function, then we are not doing the things we want to do. And I'm not my best submissive self. We don't have the DS life that we want. And so, again, it's never like a black or white thing of, oh, well, you're either thinking of yourself as the team, as a team, as a unit, or right. you're thinking of, you know, yourself or your partner's best interest. It's all wrapped up together. But it is much easier, I have found, especially from a submissive perspective, where my focus tends to be on taking care of people. The people mm-hmm. I care about, I'm going to take care of because that, for me, is serving them. Well, if I don't take care of myself, I can serve no one. And sure. me being sort of down for the count because of something that I could prevent, that there was something I could do something about, doesn't help us together as a relationship either.
No.
And so, you know, that's why when I talk to people who talk about maybe their mental health or they do have, you know, they should go to the doctor, they are sick, they've got, you know, those conversations I have with people, it's like, I do that. Have you thought about what this is doing for your relationship? Have you thought about, you know, your partner and how what they're going through? And a lot of people I have met, vanilla kinky, they don't want to admit weakness. They look at whatever might be wrong with them as a potential weakness. I mean, we're not talking about very real issues of cost. Medical care in the United States ain't cheap, ain't easy.
No.
And some people can't get the care that they need because of cost. That is all very true. But when you have the resources, you have the opportunity and you don't take it, you aren't just hurting yourself, which you are definitely doing. You're not just making your partner worry, which you were definitely doing, you are also hurting the unit of your True. Relationship. Not that one of you will stop loving the other, but it's very hard to grow and
move forward.
And move forward when you're stuck right. in a, oh my God, I feel miserable every day and something hurts or something, you know, mm-hmm. something's not quite right. And when you have the options to deal with them and they aren't, hopefully, knock on wood, permanent
right.
and it's something that can be solved, then you solve it. And then illness is just one example. It can be anything. Is it that miserable job that you don't quit because you are like, well, all jobs are like, no, all jobs are not alike. All bosses are like, no, all yeah. bosses are not alike. And you stay there and you stay in this misery, even though you know that when you come home, you're miserable and it affects how you talk to your partner and it affects how you think mm-hmm. and it affects what you want to do. And like that, these aren't easy decisions to make. And they're complex. There's a massive complexity to them. So it is not as simple as going, you know what? This is really bad for our team here on Team Kinky Pants. I'm just going to go do, you know, I'm just going to go quit my job.
Kinky Pants. I like that.
I want a shirt that says Team Kinky Pants. Except on Team Kinky Pants, we don't wear pants.
That's true.
Except when the camera's on.
Recording. Sure about that?
You're wearing pants. So, you know, I recognize that none of this is simple, but I think that that's why I think it's important for it to be the thread of the conversation that you have, whether it's in your own head or it's a conversation you're having with your partner, because it can sometimes be easier to make a tough decision when you think about what's good for your partner mm-hmm. in that sort of selfless way, but also what's good for y'all together. You know, what is it that you want to do that you can't do, and what's standing in the way? Is it health? Is it a job you mm-hmm. hate? Is it where you live? And no big choices are as they are easy sometimes, but they are not simple. So there's a lot of details that go into them, but sometimes it's easier to make a difficult decision when you think of it in those terms.
Yeah.
And to do the scary thing that will hopefully improve your life and improve your relationship and make you more of a good working unit together and give you more of the life that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And if that helps people move forward because they're like, oh no, we're doing this for us. And that a little bit takes, it spreads the responsibility around. So from a dominant yeah. perspective, you feel responsible for me.
Absolutely.
Health, care, well-being, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Well, guess what? As a submissive, I feel responsible for you. It's my job to fucking take care yeah. of you and to make sure you got everything you need and that you're the happiest little dominant ever. And and here's what happens when we do that. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
There is a lot of pressure to be the best dominant I can be for this submissive. And then there's the pressure to be the best possible submissive so that our dominant is happy. And
mm-hmm.
there's not that much wrong with that pressure until it gets into toxic areas and it gets bad for you. I mean, there's something to be said for that. We get to probably do a whole episode on that. But I have found when I'm thinking of we, not you, not me, but we,
mm-hmm.
it is easier to make those more difficult decisions.
Yeah.
And the pressure, it spreads the pressure a little bit. It's not just the pressure on me. It's not even just the pressure on you. It's us together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're sort of, metaphorically speaking, linking arm in arm to face it together, whatever it might be.
Yeah. Regardless, you know, you have certain things that as an individual, you still have to take care of
mm-hmm.
for you.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. I have those same things too. There are certain things that I need to do as an individual that nurture me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not being selfish.
Well, it's being selfish, but it's selfish is not a bad word. Selfish can be a negative thing.
True.
But to be selfish in the sense that you are feeding your own soul and taking care of yourself,
right?
That is not a negative mm-hmm. thing.
But you take care of yourself. The other person takes care of them. But then you bring it together.
Right.
It's emerging, but it's all part of a big
mess.
Yeah.
There is nothing. It's simple to me to think about in this specific situation. We worked as a team,
right?
But in every situation, it's not that simple. That's why it's not something that you can, I think, universally go, yeah, well, what's best for us as a team? There will be times you do what's best for the other person.
Right.
Or you have the team choices that you do what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that makes the team stronger.
Stronger.
It makes your relationship stronger. That makes what you're trying to build together stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's the other part of this sort of team analogy thing. I'm not doing sports teams because I don't know shit about sports and I'll fuck that up. So I'm sure somebody out there who knows sports could totally do like thing and I'm not okay. But so when you think of it as a team, it's a matter of, and I'm going back to group work in school, that just shows what kind of nerd I am. what are you trying to accomplish? What's the goal, right? And the goal is a moving target. If I had to pick a goal for us, it's to live a long and happy life together and nobody dies before the other. We go out together like Thelma and Louise. It's just how we do it. But that's like a really big squishy goal. What does that mean? So if you're thinking of your own relationship in terms of, are we a team? Are we a solid unit? Are we mm-hmm. getting to that point? That's not a magical thing. I think it's something that happens over time. Well, then it's a matter of, well, what do you both mutually want together? You will have the things you want as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you want together? And there's no right answer for that.
No.
Not at all. We want a long, healthy life where we raise children and then they leave. And then we have whatever that life is. That's what we want.
Well, the thing with goals, and this is where a good aspect of working together as a partnership comes in. See, you think of it as in terms of school. I think of it in terms of a workplace. Okay,
that's my thing. Teamwork there.
Yeah,
either.
Well, you know, I mean, it's.
I didn't do trust exercises. I didn't work in groups. Didn't happen.
But the thing is, even in a workplace, you have long term goals. You have your long term goals, and what do you you just don't say, okay, well, this is where we're going to be in 5 years,
right?
And you work towards that goal. You have your big goal, which is set out in the future. And in order to reach that big goal, you make small goals that advance you mm-hmm. towards that end. All right? And it's the same thing in DS. If you're starting a DS relationship, you just don't jump, we tell everybody you start slow.
Right, please don't just jump
in. Don't just jump in and do all the stuff. Part of the negotiation should be like, okay, well, where would we see ourselves in a year in this?
Right.
And what are we going to do to accomplish those steps?
And you can even take it to a more micro level. The fantasy goal is to use two floggers on your partner and, in a big old public scene. And you've never lifted a flogger and you never fucking spanked mm-hmm. anybody. Well, guess what? You're going to start with, oh, let's go learn about this. Oh, let's try this one small thing. Got good at that. Let's try this next thing. And you'll have that goal out in the future. And then you're going to learn so much. You might learn, like, the fantasy is to, Florentine flog. I don't even know the terminology. That's your job.
Yeah.
And then you find out your partner's like, I don't like floggers. And then you find out, I don't like doing this. I'd rather do that. And mm-hmm. and so you're going to have a goal that you have to work towards. And it can literally be, the goal can be, I want to learn how to tie my partner up with some rope. And as you learn, you're going to take in information and you're going to find what works and what doesn't work and what you need and what they need. And then some people will blindly keep following that goal because they set that goal and they said, well, that's the goal. So we have to keep doing it. You're miserable. I'm miserable, but we have a goal, and that's mm-hmm. bullshit. So then as a unit, because you're communicating with each other about your individual needs and what you each want and enjoy and don't want and don't like, you can shift and go, okay, well, that was the starting goal that we thought we mm-hmm. had. Now we have all this new information from the experience we're gaining, and we're going to shift that goal. And we're going to make a new goal together based on what we have created with each other as mm-hmm. as a team, a unit, a partnership. You pick your word, okay? As a couple, whatever.
And that's a good point, too, because, yes, goals can shift.
Uh-huh.
And you have to be, like anything else, you can't be set in concrete. You have to be willing to be fluid and go with that flow
sometimes.
And it
can be really, really hard, depending on your personality type. Some people, I used to be this way in a big way, that if once I set the goal, it was a come hell or high water kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. I could be,
there was no deviating from this path.
No, and it didn't matter how miserable I was. It didn't matter if it didn't work. It didn't matter if it was an impossible goal. And I kind of like trying to do impossible things, but sometimes it's like you have every roadblock in your way and mm-hmm. it's just a miserable sort of journey. And I was so stubborn, there was no deviating from that. I said I was going to do it, so I was going to do it. And there are those personality types out there. And if you're one of them, it can be very difficult to learn how to shift. What has helped me, and again, we're all unique, so it won't help everybody, but something to consider, is when I thought about it in terms of the unit. So this mm-hmm. was, even prior to you and I would make decisions based on, and I think many of us do this, I hope we all do this. I might have a goal in mind of where I was going, but then I had to step back and go, okay, what is good for my children? What's good for the family? Am I being the best parent I can be as I go beat my head against a brick wall for this thing that I thought I was supposed to want? Is that good for them? I'll give you a perfect example that probably doesn't even make sound like it should be. I incorrectly thought that nobody in my family ever got divorced. So they just like stayed in crappy marriages. So there I was in not a good marriage. I didn't want to be in that marriage, but I had told myself that we don't get divorced. We stick it out. We stay and we find ways to make it work. That's what we do. And I was miserable. And I was not the best parent I could be. I was kind of checked out as a parent. I was like, well, he's home all day with him because of reasons. You know, I'll just be the one that works and try and sort of scotch tape our family together and our life together. And I checked out as a parent and I had checked out certainly from my marriage, but I was like, this is what we do. We stay together even though we're miserable. And when I thought about my family in terms of those people I still really loved, because I wasn't in love with my husband at the time, I wasn't a good mom. I wasn't communicating with my own mother, because there's a lot of, when you're doing things that aren't good for your mind, your soul, your life, there tends to be some shame attached to that. So I wasn't really talking to her either. And I wasn't living this fulfilling life.
Right.
And so should I have made the choice solely based on what was right for me? Yeah. And today, would I make a choice based on that? Probably, or more so. But what did it for me was I looked at my children and went, this is not good for us. They would be better off with two parents who aren't screaming at one another all the time, but live in separate homes. And yeah, as hard as that life can be, that's what they would be better off with. They'd be better off with at least one parent who is happy and centered and, you know, is living a fulfilling life, so that then there is the energy to be a good mom to them. And that doesn't sound like something that sounds like breaking up the team. And that is where I think back to, is the person you're trying to be on your team good for your team? Like, sometimes you're trying to build a team and the other person isn't, and they are in it for themselves. And that, in a DS sense, is predatory dominance. Yeah. Those are the dominants who say, I can do whatever I want. You can't. Or you'll say, well, these are my limits. And they'll say, you don't have limits. They're in it for themselves in a really scary, dangerous way. And sometimes in a more subtle way. Sometimes it's, you know, they say all the right things until you kind of go, we have a problem. I need to talk about something. And then that sort of insidious, oh, no, it's what I want because I'm in charge kind of starts coming out. And, you know, there are other tendencies that can go along with that. Gaslighting and just other forms of emotional abuse. So it doesn't always sound like you're building a team when you bust a team, but what you have to, and that's to the outsider who didn't understand my marriage, that's what it looked like. I was breaking up our family. Well, I was breaking up something that wasn't put together in a solid way, that was never going to get any better, that was held together with twine and scotch tape and a lot of hope. And that was it. And that wasn't enough. And now that I know what it's like to be a part of a solid relationship where it's certainly by no means perfect, but it is damn good, I just think, how the hell did I do that for so long? And why did I do that for so long? But I had to make a tough decision that didn't look like I was thinking of the greater whole in order to build a better unit, first for me and the kids when it was just us. And then once we forced John Brownstone to join us and told him he had no choice. And then we built that new one. So sometimes you can make it depends on your situation, your personality, and who you are, but sometimes you can make a really difficult decision that you might not make for yourself, because you're telling yourself a story about who you are and what you do and why you do things. But when you think about the unit you're trying to take care of, or you're trying to build, and who else is in your life that you need to look after, and we are all looking after each other in some way. And quite frankly, if more of us in the world would, in a non-judgy way, try to look after each other, the world would be a better place. But you know, sometimes it's easier to make those difficult decisions if you can think about yourself a little less and the group a little more. And sometimes, yeah, it will look like you are breaking the partnership or breaking the unit. But what you're doing is actually building something more solid and better and stable. And that does, like, we just talked about, I am thinking about those types of air quote Doms who think it's all their way and that they get what they want and the submissive is just there to serve. And if, you know, we give, I think every time we talk about these kinds of things, we give all these ways that you, if you're in that situation, you can tell things aren't right. Well, here's another one. Okay. If you're thinking of this idea of, oh, well, what are we going to build? And then your partner is only talking about themselves and they do not care what you want, what you need, mm-hmm. what you like, what your hopes are, what your dreams are. It's all about them. And they have no desire to change that or to listen. You're not building a team. You're not. You're building a situation where you are being used and you are potentially being manipulated. And if you can safely get out as soon as you can. If you cannot safely do it, then do what you need to do to keep yourself safe. But that's not a good situation. That is not something that will end well. That it just mm-hmm. won't. Because eventually, and sometimes not eventually, sometimes very quickly, what they want will butt up directly against what you want or what you're willing to give or what you're capable of doing. And that's when really bad things happen.
Yeah. Especially if, you know, one of the biggest things with any partnership is being willing to compromise.
Yes.
You know, everybody does not get their own way all the time.
Not even dominance.
That's right. You know, you have to be willing to give and take.
Yep. And part of it is with compromise, there's a lot of reasons we compromise. There's a lot of ways we compromise.
Mm-hmm.
But in relationships, I have found that sometimes I don't want to give up what I want. Of course we don't. We have those moments where like, but I really want that. What helps me personally take this and use it if it helps you is when I think of the other person. Is when I think of, okay, I want this thing, but what does that mean for John Brownstone? What does that mean mm-hmm. for our relationship? What does that mean for our family? And for me, that is almost always the easiest. I say that it's hard to do, but I've been compromising my whole fucking life. And now what's funny is because I have been quite spoiled as the baby girl that I am, I actually get very testy about it now. I'm like, well, I gave up this for all of y'all. What's going to happen now? That's not a good look. It's
no, it's not.
It's the bad kind of selfish. And it does breed resentment. And that is when communication has to
kick into high drive.
Right. Exactly. Wow. Overdrive. Words are really hard this week. So there are no simple steps to say, oh, here's how you'll build a team. And there's no, I think there are simple steps to tell if you and your partner have sort of become a team, have become a single unit, at least when you're together, at least in some situations. Like some people have no desire to be that really, really solid unit with their partner all the time. They're like, no, I got my things over here. You go do your things over here. And it's funny because we have our individual things.
Yeah.
But, and I think part of it is because we're 24/7 and part of it is because we are so enmeshed in each other's lives. We can and we will go off and do our own thing, but we're looking back at each other going, Are you sure? You go to a couple of kink community events that I don't go to that I have no interest in going. I like the people there. I don't want to go to those events. And I'll send him off. I'm like, go, have a good time. And he's like, are you sure? Is this we're cool, right? I'm like, go, I got shit to do. And then when he's gone, I'm like, oh, I miss him so much. I wish I had gone. Not enough to go the next time, though. So I didn't really want to go. So there is a danger of being too enmeshed in each other as well. It's a really subtle thing. It's not, I don't think anybody starts any relationship going, I want us to be so close. We're a single unit and we think alike and talk alike and sometimes even act like there's a song there, right? That was for the older listeners / viewers. Get that reference. But it is something that I think as your relationship grows, it adds depth to it.
Right.
And it can help it become stronger, or as your relationship becomes stronger and more solidified, it's like a byproduct of it. So mm-hmm. I don't know which comes first. You become the team and then the relationship deepens, or the relationship deepens and then you become the team. I don't know.
Either way, it's a symbiotic
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if that was helpful for anybody. And yet it took going both of us together to the Minute Clinic walk-in thing at CVS.
Yeah.
Where we both got poked and prodded by a very nice doctor lady. And then our flu shots. I still have the bruise, by the way. I'm very annoyed by this. Mm. Yes, I still have the bruise. For us to kind of... And I think we even did it in the little room where she was examining us. At one point, one of us looked over at the other one and did that communication thing. Yes. With our eyes. And it's just, it's kind of been sort of on my mind. And it is, it's not something, this idea that we are a solid, a single unit when we're together most of the time. It's not a goal, one I would have ever had, or one I think you're supposed to like go set for yourself. But it adds something, it makes something that's special even more special. Words are hard this week. They are so hard this week. And that's, I think that's another reason why it's sort of on my mind. Yeah. It does, it adds something. And I think that if you're in a long-term DS relationship and you're not feeling it, it's probably a communication problem. It's probably you've distanced yourself. Maybe you've grown kind of accustomed to each other and you're not trying quite as hard anymore. That you taking each other for granted is a natural thing. I mean, you just get used to each other and you go, I know what they're going to do and they know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to do that. And as long as things are clicking smoothly, that's mostly okay. Yeah. But once you realize, you start feeling like something is missing and something's not quite right, or you've got resentment to deal with and problems come up and you're not working together in the way that you'd like, then yeah, it's something to consider. And if you're in a new relationship, you know, it's not something that you go set out to do. You know, you're not picking a dodgeball team.
No.
People play dodgeball. Okay. That's it. That's all I know about. You're trying to find the best fit for you. But I would say that if there's a question about that and you're not sure, that's one part of the criteria you can think of. Is this person acting in our mutual best interest? And if not, why not? And how do I feel about that? And if you don't feel good about it, that might be, you know, yet another reason in a list of them to call it quits. So, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Think so?
I'm in a foggy, foggy haze.
Yeah. We both still are a little bit.
Yeah, it's, we had our first good night's sleep last night.
Yes.
And y'all know how this works, right? You have one good night's sleep and you wake up feeling better than you have in like the past two or three days. So you think, oh,
I can do all the things now.
Exactly. And so then you try and you go, no, I cannot do all the things.
Nope.
It's okay. It's okay. Okay. So yeah, we do have a bonus section and we did get mail. Last week that we didn't get to talk about. We won't go into gross details about being sick, but we'll probably talk about that too.
We'll talk about that
a little bit.
Are we good?
I think so.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week. Can I? Please, Daddy, please.
Yeah, go ahead, baby girl. I know you missed not talking to the crickets last week.
I know. I don't like it. So we did get mail, and we got very interesting mail. And I was already starting to get sick when we got this mail, so I'm kind of in a fog about that. But in this, and I'm not going to say this person's name because I don't know if they're like, it's like their name, and I don't know if they're out publicly or not, but it was a they sent a belated happy anniversary to us. A happy birthday to me, and I'm okay. The baby girl in me loves it. Like, I hate the happy birthday song. I hate blowing out candles in front of God and everybody, but I love it when the whole world's like, happy birthday. I'm such a fucking baby girl. This person makes stickers, and they found a way to make stickers with tape and wax/parchment paper, and they sent us a little envelope of stickers, and your job is to put it in front of the video camera.
Because
I suck at that. And so took like our logo and put them on like some coffee cups. And then there is a microphone that also looks like a flogger. And yes. I freaking love that. And I'm going to take pictures and pop them up on Instagram. So if you are listening, you'll be able to see them. And it is so awesome. We have not tried to peel them off on anything yet because we were sick. And yep. I did not want to fuck that up. So if you are listening, thank you. Oh, and one of the microphones is in purple.
Yep.
So yeah, stickers are totally my jam. And the fact that these are like handmade and sort mm-hmm. of a project and an experiment is
very cool.
Really, really cool. So thank you.
I think a couple of them look good on my Chromebook.
Well, I was thinking the same about my MacBook. and then I got a birthday. Yeah, it was a birthday card. See, I did this last week in a fog. I'm like, well, that was a birthday card, right? Yes, and it is a birthday card. And it says, happy birthday, Kayla, and happy anniversary to you and Mr. John. Many more years to you both. Yes.
Thank you.
And we're going out like Thelma and Louise at the end. He'll be 100 and something. I'll be 90 something. Be like in walkers and wheelchairs. But I'll find somebody to let me borrow their car. You have to hold it up because you're better at this. In my birthday card
good right there.
Was some Little Mermaid stickers. So it was freaking mm-hmm. awesome. Actually, it's Disney Princess stickers. I saw the Ariel and I forgot.
The Ariel was what caught right. your eye. Yeah.
Yeah, I am embracing my love of mermaids.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely embracing my love of mermaids. So thank you. Mm-hmm. And that is all the mail. I checked the mail today and we got junk. I was sad. That's okay. It's fine. I love the mail that we get. We can't have mail all the time, even though I would like mail all the time. It doesn't have to be birthday cards. It doesn't have to be amazing freaking things that people make with their own two hands. I do love that though.
I'm very such cool.
a baby girl. I'm sorry, y'all. so, yes, we have both been sick.
Yeah.
I just got run down. So, I last early November, like the very end of October, mm-hmm. I worked extra hours to finish up some big projects. And then I was already starting to feel run down and I wasn't sleeping. And then I caught whatever bug you had.
Yeah.
And then I took... Today, we're recording on Thursday. I took Wednesday off. One of the kids had a school program. The other kid has a school program today that we'll be going to later. There was a school program to go to, and I wanted to, like, just take the day off and sort of be relaxed. Well, I had to do extra work on Monday and Tuesday and make up for the work I didn't do the week before because I'd been sick. So I had a second week in a row of working way too many hours. I'm not helping myself.
No.
And then I went through a sort of my own crisis of confidence again in my work. And just, I blogged about it on my personal blog. I talked about it on my other podcast. I don't want to go into it. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm just tired right now. And what's happening with me, we both have had a lot of sinus pressure. And for 3 days, I had a headache right behind my eyes. On my left side, and it was like my whole left side of my face would just hurt. And this morning I woke up and the first thought I had was, oh, the left side of my face doesn't hurt, this is awesome. But the right side of my face now hurts. It's like it just moved. So yeah.
And I'm just waiting for my ears to pop.
I know, I feel like I need to like buy you a plane ticket so go buy it up. We do not have points of elevation in this part of Florida. You can go up to certain parts of the panhandle, like as you get closer to Georgia, and you'll get a couple of hills and your ears can pop. My ears pop anyway. they do. but yeah, it's like, I don't know what to tell you. Just if anybody has any ear popping home remedies that don't involve finding higher elevation, mm-hmm. let us know. Because he can't hear a thing. Which is great if you want to mumble something you shouldn't say out loud. But when you're actually trying... I haven't done that. I've thought about it, though. But I haven't. But when you're trying to have an actual conversation, like a serious conversation, it's not been...
Makes it a little difficult.
It's not been easy.
Well, I think for me, I don't know if I... Because I was sick a couple weeks ago.
You were so sick.
And I slept for... I crashed into bed for 3 days. And I wonder if I really had gotten over it, if I had just... You know, gotten better to a point, and then it kind of relapsed.
And that's why I told the doctor when she was telling us, here, y'all are gonna, I'm going to prescribe this, I'm going to prescribe that. And I said, well, you know, he was sick a few weeks, totally ratted him out. He was sick a few weeks ago and did not come in. And I just, you know, and she said, okay, so this spray, nasal spray stuff. Oh God, that's awful. She said, you're going to take it for 2 weeks. I don't care if you start feeling better. I would like to start feeling better. We're not quite at a week in. And I, like I said, the sinus pressure has just shifted.
Better than what we were.
Well, yeah, we were pretty miserable last week.
Yeah, we were very much non-functional.
Yeah.
At all last week.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I know.
We had no appetite.
No.
We drank less coffee. We drank a lot less coffee.
You couldn't taste anything.
I couldn't taste anything.
I could taste stuff.
And poor boys, we just threw sandwiches at them for dinner.
I know. Like every night for like 3 nights, it was like, what kind of sandwich would you like?
Yeah.
And then the last night of sandwiches, I felt a little bit better and I also felt guilty. So they usually make themselves like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, or the oldest is loving salami right now and salami and cheese sandwich. I was like, Okay, they're still only getting sandwiches, but maybe I can help with this. So the youngest loves tuna fish salad. Mm. I don't know how. Mm. I remember being a kid and thinking, I love tuna fish now, but thinking, oh God, not tuna fish. Am I the youngest one? He's like, can I just have some tuna fish? I love tuna fish. So I was like, it's sandwiches again tonight. Would you like a tuna fish sandwich? He's like, yes. And I'm the one that makes that. And then the oldest, he does not care for tuna fish. And I said, but I know his weakness. I'm like, would you like a grilled cheese sandwich? He's like, oh yeah. Now he is old enough that we could teach him, and we should teach him how to make those. I think we would run out of bread and cheese because he would make himself nothing but grilled cheese sandwiches. But that was my effort that I put in. I was like, here, I'm going to feel like a mom for a night. I'm not going to cook him dinner, but I'll make him a fancier sandwich. So, yeah. And yet, you know, we didn't do a lot with each other. We didn't have a lot of conversations. We tried to go out and do some normal things like shoe shopping and stuff like that. Fun times. I still, even in our haze, like we'd be laying in bed going, oh God, our face hurts. I still just felt really close to you.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to talk to you, but I couldn't hold a thought in my head. And so then I didn't need to talk to you. And that was nice.
Yeah.
I think that's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be more going on than there is. For patrons, I'm way behind in anything for the month of November because I'm sick. I have a feeling I will stay behind until next week simply because my face really hurts. Ooh. My face really hurts. But yeah, so that's us.
Yeah.
Kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure that this week's topic made a lot. It made sense in my head, but my head's clogged up, at least on the right side. So that, who knows? And words were very difficult. I could not think of the words I wanted. I knew what I was trying to say, but yeah. Mm. Mm, sorry, y'all. So yeah, that's us, I think.
Yeah, I think that's it for this week. You know.
Oh, and podcast listeners can't see this, and I don't know if anybody watching on YouTube has paid any attention, but I've been drinking hot coffee. I'm drinking a bulletproof coffee, and my coffee mug, I know we have a light on that makes it very difficult. We have no natural lighting this week, y'all. But my coffee mug says coffee,
then adulting.
And I don't know. I think the adulting's overrated. I think there'll just be lots of coffee.
Yeah, normally here in the room that we record, and especially with the video, we rely on natural light.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it comes in through the...
It's Florida.
Yeah. Sunshine state, for Christ's sake.
We have plenty of freaking natural light. Not today.
Not today. We had a cold front come through, and it is overcast and gray outside today.
I know, but I'm wearing leggings, and I wore my hoodie earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I finally found a hoodie, and you want to know where I had to go shop for a hoodie I like? The men's section, which I don't have a problem with that, but I'm annoyed that in the women's section, the hoodies were all about being fashionable. I was like, I need something that covers my fucking body and zips up over my boobs. That is what I need. That is also a soft material. But what I was getting in, I was either getting like the sweatshirt kind of hoodie, and I don't like that kind that's too thick. It's too hot. I want to be able to just throw it on in a light, whatever.
Yeah.
Or it was those fashion things now where they don't zip. They're like cardigans, but they have hoods. Or they are pullovers, and I don't like pullovers because that's a pain in the ass. I just want to, I just wanted an old-fashioned fucking hoodie. And I finally found one, not the right color, but everything else was right in the men's department.
Yeah.
And so I wore it with pride today.
Yes, you did.
For anybody who's listened to older episodes and knows our love of yoga pants and leggings and boots, I bought boots.
Yes, you did.
I don't have them yet. We had to order them because they didn't have my specific size. I'm one of those people with the wide calves, and so I look for the wide calf boots. and so I had to order those. But I did wear the leggings today.
Yes.
They make my ass look good. And really, that's all that matters.
They do.
And we have to go to another school performance today. Now right. It's the oldest turn to for a
strut his stuff
band thing.
Yeah.
National Day of Celebration for Music. It's a band across the country, bands, especially of younger kids, of newer band members, they're having like their first performance, and they're all going to perform on this day and show their parents what they've learned. And for some of them, in less than a couple months, he's been playing for 3 years. So I teased him. I said, is it going to sound like music? And he's like, it sounds like music. I was like, wait till you're a parent. Yeah. Wait till you're a parent. It sounds like honking geese. But I still cry. I still cry. I'm like, look at my baby up there playing his trumpet louder than the whole band. But whatever. I know he's there.
Yes.
Just like I cried when the little one sang his song about how children will change the world at their international festival thing yesterday.
An international feast.
Well, it was a feast, but there was a festival first. And they did this song where they're all third graders, and these little kids are passing this globe around, and then they're linking arms and they're holding their hands up and they're singing about how children just want to play and they're going to change the world and they just want to be friends with everybody. And I was like, oh my God, the world's a dumpster fire. This is what I needed. And I sobbed and he saw me from stage, because that was a whole thing. I'm not getting into that now. And he literally gave me a look that was like, Mom,
that's enough.
Stop. Could just stop. I mean, he did the head bob and the hand wave that clearly said, stop.
Enough.
And I was like, and so then I just sniveled the rest of the song. And then he comes home and he tells me, he's like, our teacher said the parents would cry during that song. I was like, of course we did. It was so beautiful. Children are our future. So...
Okay.
Yeah, it's time. Yes, it's time. Before I get weepy over the song they sang yesterday.
Right.
Okay, we love you guys.
We love you. Thank you so much.
Glad to be back. Mm-hmm. Hopefully next week. The next episode should, as long as nobody gets sick, should be our annual favorite toys.
Ah, yes. Of the year. Yes,
and
yes.
And it's coming out on Black Friday, so if we can learn about Black Friday deals from those companies that we love, because not everybody makes that list, we will share those too. So if you're looking for some kinky fuckery this holiday season, we'll try and hook you up. Okay, so that's
it. Us. We're good.
Mm-hmm. Bye.